now turn on to page 828 in your hymnal for our psalm reading. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the peoples. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises. Tell of God's wonderful works. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgments God has uttered. O offspring of Abraham, God's servant, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones, the Lord is our God, whose judgments are in all the earth. The Lord is mindful of his everlasting covenant, of the word commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant made with Abraham, his promise sworn to Isaac and confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance.
Our second reading, the reading from the Hebrew Bible, comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. You can find it on page 60 in the Pew Bible, page 60 in the front in the Hebrew Bible. If you've been here, you'll remember that we've been following along in the story of Moses taking the Egyptians out of the land of Egypt, away from Pharaoh. They're now safely out of Pharaoh's clutches, but now they find themselves in the wilderness, and they wonder if perhaps they made the wrong choice. So let us turn to Exodus 16, 2 through 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard this complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. It can be found on page 185 in the Pew Bible's New Testament. And as you're turning to that page, I just want to let you know that there is a new Bible floating around the church in the Common English Bible. That's what it's called. If you get a chance to read this passage in that Common English Bible, it will come clearer to you. So, hear these words. For to me, living in Christ is dying is a gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that I saw I had, and now hear that I am still have. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us now turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. You'll find it on page 20 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. Did that just get way loud? Seems like it got louder. Maybe my ears just cleared. Okay. Let me ask you to do a favor. If you take a look at the front of your bulletin, this is not just any coin, and I'm hoping it's the right coin. What I know for a fact is that is a denarius, which we'll be discussing in this reading from Matthew. What I'm not clear on is if it's the right time period. It's pretty close. So if you want to prove me wrong or if you want to do some research, I'll figure out which Caesar it was who would have been on the throne when Jesus was speaking to the disciples. The key is this is a denarius. And what you'll discover if you think about it and read into Matthew, this is the daily wage. If you worked for an entire day, you got a denarius. So that's the coin in question. So let us turn to Matthew, to Jesus' words. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, a denarius, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to that last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, if you look at all the scripture passages for today, you come away with the clear understanding that God sees things very differently from most human beings. God has a different definition of value and worth from most of us. With all the recent talk about the ongoing problems in our economy, we need to consider God's economy too. God's economy is the economy of grace. And that's a very good thing for each of us and for all of us together. So let us this morning together consider this economy of grace. Let me offer you a few illustrations. Let's just say that God wants to hire you to do a job for 30 days. Now, it's a very important and difficult job, but because God believes in free will, God will give you an option on how you are to be paid. Your first choice is this: God will pay you one penny for the first day of work, and then God will double your salary on each successive day for those 30 days. Okay, your other choice is more direct. If you choose this option, God will pay you $1 million. So which option will you choose? Now, some of you may have heard this before, so play along with it. But just by a show of hands, how many would choose the $1 million salary? An easy $1 million. Okay, a few of you. How many would choose the one penny doubled salary? How many of you didn't vote? What's the deal with that? You're not going to accept this job from God? Well, from a mathematical perspective, if you want to make the most money on this job, then those of you who chose the one penny doubled salary for God's position, you made the right choice. Now, some of you have seen this, but it's a pretty amazing thing. If you had chosen this one penny option, you would have made one penny, obviously, on day one, but you would have made $568,709.12 on day 30. Do the math. I have. It's amazing. All told, at the end of the month, if you picked the penny salary, you would have made a total of $10,737,418.23. That's more than 10 times the $1 million salary. So some of you made the right choice. So many times when we think about our relationship with God, we think that we know what's best. We usually rely on our human understanding of value and worth. But God always has our best interest at heart, and God works this through this mysterious economy of grace. God loves you absolutely and unconditionally and beyond the boundaries of your greatest imagination. When we talk about our human economy, we think in terms of our national debt or the annual budget for the U.S. economy, or you might even think about your own family budget. In human terms, it's always a question of money, and it's always a zero-sum game. You may be familiar with that term, a zero-sum game. That just means that there's a specific and limited pot of money. If you increase in one area, you necessarily have to decrease in another area. You simply can't make more money available despite the way that our Congress sometimes works. That's what a zero-sum game is. There's only a single pot. Think about a pie chart that illustrates expenditures or income. A pie chart shows graphically the various percentages of money allotted to each separate account. So if you increase in one area, you necessarily have to decrease in another area for everything to equal 100%. But for that matter, knowing that most of us are Methodists, think about an actual pie. Think about a delicious cherry pie or apple or whatever is your favorite sitting there on the table. Now, we can choose to divide it up among ourselves. We can keep cutting the slices thinner and thinner in order to allow each person to be able to eat some pie. But in the end, there is only so much pie. When it's gone, it's gone. And then Mike Summerall will lick the tin to make sure it's all gone. No, I'm kidding. But God doesn't work on the same mathematical model. God always makes more pies. In God's math, 5 plus 2 equals 5,000. Think about it. With 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus was able to easily feed more than 5,000 people, and there were still 12 baskets of leftovers when everyone had eaten their fill. In today's story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness after Moses had gotten them out of Egypt, we see another example of God's economy of grace. When the people complained that they were hungry, God provided something from nothing. God gave them quail in the evenings and manna in the mornings, and everybody's belly was full. God always has our best interest at heart, and God works through this mysterious economy of grace. In God's view, it is certainly not a zero-sum game. God loves you absolutely and unconditionally and beyond the wildest boundaries of your imagination. Finally, I want you to think about what Jesus meant when he said, "The last will be first, and the first will be last." As an illustration, let me offer you a quick story about the time that I was a park ranger working outside of the White House. Every Christmas time during the winter, the White House used to be open for special tours so that visitors could see all the amazing decorations in the public sections of that building. Well, I was one of the park rangers assigned to President's Park. That's the area surrounding the White House that includes the Ellipse and Lafayette Park. Some of you know D.C., so you know what I'm talking about. Well, among many other duties, it was our job to help visitors get in line for these Christmas tours. But when the limit of the tours had been reached, we would walk along the line counting the people, and then we would stand at the end of that line and tell people as they approached that there were no more spots available. You cannot imagine the sorrowful stories we would hear about how far a family had come and how much it would mean to them if they would only get to get into the White House to see the Christmas decorations. Well, that always tugged at my heartstrings, but I had to turn people away. God does not turn people away. If you are willing to be obedient to Jesus and to try to live a kingdom life, then you will never be turned away. Think about the vineyard workers in Jesus' story from Matthew. Each of them worked for the landowner, and each of them was paid the amount agreed to before they started the job. God has a different understanding of value and worth, but each worker was fairly paid. The payment was not equal, but in God's eyes, it was fair. This whole idea of the last being first and the first being last is confusing to many people. But what you'll discover if you look at the whole Bible is that God has a preference for the poor. God seems to favor the least, the last,
and the lost of our societies. And God asks us to look after those people who most desperately need God's unconditional love. But be clear about this. Even though Jesus says the last will be first and the first will be last, he does not say that anyone will be turned away from the kingdom of God. If you are willing to be obedient to Jesus and to live a kingdom life, then you will never be turned away. It's not at all about what you do to deserve God's love, because none of us actually deserves God's love. That's why they call it grace. It's not about what you do, but rather it's about what God does. God always has our best interest at heart, and God works through this mysterious economy of grace. My sisters and brothers, God loves you absolutely and unconditionally and beyond the boundaries of your greatest imagination. Thanks be to God. Amen.